this recording last week, but had some problems with my AirPlay getting this up and running. But the funny part about this is, and so this is just a quick little addendum to it, and then I've got a 7-minute video attached. But since I posted this, actually, I guess I didn't post it, but I'm wondering if, you know, Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan Chase and I are on the same wavelengths. Because there's right now there's a Zero Hedge article talking about the perfect storm hits yields, Steinman warns. We don't fully understand, that's in quotes, impact of unprecedented QE wind. And he goes on to say, it might force the 10-year up. If the Fed boosts short-term rates more than expected, so that's in brackets, you can easily deal with 4% bonds, and I think people should be prepared for that. Well, I'm not sure if we can really be that prepared for 4%, but anyways, as we continue, the U.S. will have to finance by the end of the year $400 billion a quarter. That's a lot. That's a huge shift from the past. He also goes on to say, Jamie Dimon, this may cause more volatility, higher rates in a way we don't fully understand, given the fact that the exit from quantitative easing is unprecedented. He also goes on to say, we've never had QE, we've never had reversal, Dimon said, and that the markets are in uncharted territory when it comes to what central banks are setting out to do. So anyways, this is a perfect dovetail into the recording that I made last week, still just as pertinent as ever. Hope you guys enjoy, and thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. It's Tim Pichot, and what I wanted to do today, talk about real quickly, I don't want this to be a huge, long, drawn-out discussion, is one thing that nobody is really talking about is the perfect storm that is brewing right now. We have a Zero Hedge article that talks about the U.S. just borrowed $488 billion in one quarter. That's the most since the financial crisis. And actually, it's the second most ever. The most ever was the fourth quarter of 2008, which was the financial crisis. So compare the conditions then versus the conditions now. Now you have, you know, record tax receipts. You have everything supposedly going well versus the backdrop of 2008, where obviously, you know, the world was, you know, basically at the brink of collapse. And so, you know, this is just a very, very bad sign of things to come. Now, one of the other big things that I want to talk about was the Federal Reserve balance sheet. And just eyeballing it, it appears that, you know, it peaked out at about $4.5 trillion. And now we're down to $4.35 trillion. So, I mean, essentially just eyeballing this, the Fed's been able to reduce their balance sheet by $150 billion. Just they've been talking about maybe getting it down to $2 trillion, which means they've got another $2 trillion to go. So obviously they've done nothing. Now the big news is that tiny, tiny, tiny bit that they have done has sent major shockwaves. So at one point the 10-year treasury I think was as low as 1.3, maybe it was 1.2, and then recently it just got over 3. Now when it does get over 3, that's going to attract more money from stock market into bonds, so then that way people are now getting compensated for taking a higher risk. And traditionally when the stock market had valuations that it has where it's at right now, at least as measured by the CAPE ratio, the cyclically adjusted price index, is that usually the forward 10-year return is only 4. So if you can get, you know, a quote unquote risk-free rate in the bond market of 3%, then why are you gonna go risk it all in the stock market to only get 4? So that's just one important thing to keep in mind. Now, another thing people aren't really talking about is that the Fed, since the government had to issue almost $500 billion of debt, I mean, that would make it close to on pace of $2 trillion that the Treasury would need to issue. Now, I've been saying, you know, only lowballing it over here, saying that they were going to have to issue $100 billion of debt, they being the Treasury. So if you add that $100 billion onto what the Fed's doing, which is about $30 billion a month, getting up to $50 billion come, I think it's October, every 3 months it ratchets up. So it started, it started at 10, then went to 20, then went to 30. And now it's going to cap off at 50. And so then you're looking at a situation where you're looking at the Fed trying to get rid of $150 billion, or basically the Treasury, the combination of the Treasury and the Fed having to find buyers for $150 billion a month. Now, traditionally, the buyers were the Federal Reserve. Well, they're actually now the sellers. The other buyers were the Chinese, who now were in, you know, essentially, you know, the beginning of a trade war with them and, you know, telling them to go take a hike. So that's not a good sign. They also have the new petro yuan that they've just released recently. And then the third largest buyer are the Japanese. And the Japanese are pretty much the most indebted country in the world with a debt to GDP over 200%. So all these things, and again, I'm not trying to poo-poo the president or anything, but you can see the optics on this are really bad. That, with the Federal Reserve raising rates already 5 times since Trump's been in office, or since he was the you know, the president elect, I guess, because technically it was raised once when there was that, you know, lame duck interim period. You know, these forces are much, much larger than any one president can, you know, basically, you know, take credit for or accept the blame. Now, the problem is Trump is taking a lot of credit for things that have gone on. Yes, the stock market is, you know, doing well, relatively speaking. But a lot of that was because these tax cuts didn't really go to, you know, that business owner making $100,000 or making $150,000 or $200,000. You know, really, you had to be, you know, for like an S corp, I think, I haven't looked at it recently, but I think you had to be over about $250,000 to see any benefits. A lot of the service businesses, or pretty much all service businesses, didn't even get one of the major credits. But, you know, one of the main beneficiaries are people lower down on the totem pole. And then also you've got, you know, the major, major Fortune 500 companies who can now repatriate money. That repatriation is just going towards companies that mainly hated the president, buying back their own stock. So that is going to have a temporary boost to the stock market. But again, that's all, you know, I think really we're doing a lot of things, I guess, pardon my language, but we really have basically just blown our wad on a lot of this stuff. And so when we eventually get into a crisis, what's the Fed going to do? You know, they've got, you know, hardly any room to cut the rates because they didn't raise them fast enough, because they wanted to really game the system to have the Democrats make their economy look better than it really is. And we're just in a situation where there's really no way out of it. I mean, how do we, you know, what if we start running $2 trillion deficits and we're in, you know, we're in recession? I mean, at this rate, we're looking at $2 trillion deficits in boom time. So, you know, what if we get into a recession and all of a sudden we need to finance, you know, $3 trillion of spending. And then the Fed, instead of selling bonds, has to now buy bonds. You know, that's going to have huge ripples throughout the investment community. And so what I'm trying to do over here is help protect people from that. So, you know, if you guys are close to retirement, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do right now. You do have a chance, you do have an opportunity to protect yourself. Now, the main risk that I see for people that are close to retirement is something called sequence of return risk, where it doesn't matter what your average return is, it only matters what the order of those returns are. So you want to make sure that, you know, what you're ultimately conserving is your purchasing power. And it doesn't mean keeping all of your money in dollars if you think that the one thing that, you know, might happen with, you know, the Federal Reserve having a reverse course could make the dollar go down. Probably then the last thing you want to do is conserve dollars. You want to conserve purchasing power. So we've got ways that we think, you know, will benefit from what we see is coming. But anyways, that's just the perfect storm that we see coming, because, you know, you don't see a lot of this reported on the fake news media. You don't see a lot of this reported on, you know, certainly on the financial sites. And, you know, really the media just wants to be able to tell you what to think. They want to be able to tell you, focus a narrative on, this is what you need to think, this is what you need to be focused on. And really, this is an issue that's much, much higher up, higher level issue. And I just want to make sure that my listeners and viewers are aware of this. And thank you for everyone that's been watching. Thank you for everyone that's been listening. I really, really appreciate it. And, you know, drop me a line if you want me to cover any other issue. And thank you very much. Take care.